there, ladies and gentlemen from far and wide. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by the one and only EEJournal.com. This week, we're going 0 to 60 down the IoT highway, and I'm taking you with me. That's right. First stop, a little CES preview with Rob Vailton from Atmel. Rob and I discuss connected cars, security in our automotive systems, and how in the heck someone can be both a Patriots and a Niners fan. I know, crazy. Check it out. Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me.
Now, Rob, with CES just around the corner, give me a little preview on what Atmel's bringing along to the CES party this year.
All right. Well, at CES, we're going to be in the South Hall, and we kind of got our booth located into three different sections: Smart Living, Automotive Zone, and the Maker Zone. So in the Smart Living Zone, think about it as we're going to be showcasing a number of our demos that are connected through a number of applications, connected wirelessly with Zigbee, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, really kind of showing what the Internet of Things can be in the modern home. In the Automotive Zone, we're going to be showing our Avant Car demo, and that's looking at what the center stack of a automobile will be looking like in the next few years coming forth. And then we're also going to be doing the Maker Zone. So as you might think, it's demonstrating a lot of things that are coming from the maker movement, all using Atmel microelectronics.
Excellent. So let's get into this Automotive Zone a bit more. Now, with connected cars and driverless cars coming into frame in the near future, tell me how this fits into the CES picture.
Okay, well, first and foremost, that connected car and the driverless car, it's going to offer an opportunity for the marketplace in general and greater adoption of microcontrollers, microprocessors, and some people don't think about security as well. So those are all very strong areas of strength for Atmel, so that's spots that we're going to be participating in. If you think about it, cars themselves, they already have their own internal networks. You know, there's a LIN network, there's a CAN network, there's a MOST network, and now they're talking about bringing Ethernet into the cars as well. But additionally, with those internal car networks, there's also talk out there now and the verbiage that's used called V2V and V2I, and that's when vehicle to vehicle speak to each other, and V2I is from vehicles to internet. So that means that cars are all going to be nodes on the internet themselves, collecting data and communicating data. So again, right at the heart of that is going to be low-power microcontrollers, and is going to be security.
Let's talk more about the security aspect of this. So with our rapidly expanding IoT market, security will be a bigger and bigger deal going forward. Now, Rob, how do you see security fitting into all this?
From an automobile perspective, let me talk about that first, and then I can talk about it in general afterwards, if you will. The internal car networks themselves, they're going to need to be protected from hackers who are intent on causing mischief or worse, with control functions. An example that's actually been out there on YouTube is where you can see something as silly or juvenile as somebody taking control of your radio volume and playing pranks on you. That in and of itself is pretty harmless, although you always have to be careful that it doesn't compromise safety because you could have unintended consequences that are more dire. Speaking of dire, it could be something where someone has a more sinister intent, and that is using the network edge point in your car to access your network and capture your personal data that way, or to disrupt the ability for you to control your car. You know, the industry is going to need to be more vigilant in protecting and ensuring secure boot and secure downloads to ensure that malware is not introduced into the vehicles and networks, similar to what you hear about in software hacking today in the banking industry and in personal networks.
So, Rob, where do you see IoT security headed in the future outside our connected cars?
So in the IoT, think about it this way, is the more opportunities that you have for devices to be sitting on the edge and to be communicating either to other devices or be communicating into the cloud, that's just going to leave that many more opportunities. Or think of each one of those nodes as a window in your home. And so you've got to lock every door, lock every window to ensure that the burglars, if you will, in this case the hackers, don't have an entry point into your system. And so even though you may be thinking that the information that you're collecting really isn't all that confidential or proprietary in nature, you still want to think about how do you implement security to ensure that that's not the unlocked door in the home. The bad guys usually don't try to come through the front door of the home. They try to find the part that people don't think about locking and watching. Same thing in these broad meshes or these broad networks that we're going to be developing with the IoT is we need to think about how do we protect each and every one of those nodes.
Now, I read just the other day that Atmel is celebrating its 30th anniversary. So congratulations. And let's frame this discussion in the last 30 years. So where do you think automotive and security applications have come in the last 30 years?
Okay. Well, first off, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we at Atmel are proud of our accomplishments over the last 30 years, and we think the next 30 are going to be even more promising for us. A lot of people don't know. So in automotive, we've actually had a lot of progress in the last 30 years. And like anything, it seems like a hockey stick. The advances that are being made in the industry and at Atmel ourselves are a perfect reflection of what's happening in the industry, getting more and more fast as technology develops. You may or may not be aware, but Atmel's automotive group actually stems from the old Daimler semiconductor business. Daimler semiconductor business spun off the Temic, and we bought the Temic business, almost 30 years, just 30 plus years ago, because the site itself now just celebrated its 50th anniversary a couple of years ago.
All right, Rob, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Are you ready?
Well, okay, test me.
Now, I know you're from Boston.
You pronounced it just correct.
Excellent. I'm glad. And I know any person from Boston worth their salt is a big Patriots, Red Sox fan, but you told me you're now a Niners fan and you follow the Sharks on the West Coast. So, what's up with that, Rob? How can you be an East Coast and a West Coast fan at the same time?
Funny you should ask that, actually, because the Boston Bruins just came in and played the San Jose Sharks just last week, and I happen to be a season ticket holder for the Sharks. So to show my true allegiance and where my roots really are, I wore my Bruins jersey to the game, but I did have my Sharks hat on. So they don't compete during the season except that once home-and-home match, but I'm hoping someday I'll get to see them in the Stanley Cup, and because of my season ticket status, I actually get to see it in person.
Excellent. I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Rob. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks, Amelia. I enjoyed it as well.
Now, if you've been listening to my broadcast over the years, you will know that sometimes I have a segment called Kickstarter Corner. Most of the time, I troll Kickstarter looking for the funniest, most electronically fish-friable campaign I can. But these stories tend to be a little lighthearted. But this week, in honor of the gift-giving holiday season that is so merrily amongst us, saving the world, kinda, Kickstarter Corner. Did you know that 1.5 million children die every year from vaccine-preventable diseases? And the children the most at risk, as you can undoubtedly imagine, are children in rural and developing nations. Our Kickstarter Corner story this week began just earlier this year at a mechanical engineering class at Yale called Appropriate Technology for the Developing World. A group of four students, chosen at random, were given the weighty assignment: improve immunization rates in the developing world. No easy task, right? This team from Yale exhaustively researched the many facets of vaccine administration before they realized, hey, one of the biggest problems here is paper record keeping. What if you could take the paper right out of the equation? Well, yes, but that isn't entirely the answer. Did you know that in many parts of the developing world, vaccination records are kept in large paper logbooks? And mothers are expected to keep their own children's paper vaccine record. If that record is lost, figuring out what exact vaccines a child still needs can be an extremely problematic process. Collective information is put together from these logbooks, but in doing so, most of the important patient-by-patient information is lost. So how do we stop this fruitless paper trail? Is there a way to track immunizations without the use of big digital systems that may not be easy, to say the least, to implement in most developing nations? Well, yes, it seems so. Cushy Baby says they have the answer. Enter near-field communications. With Cushy Baby, children can wear their entire vaccination record. All their data is stored on an NFC chip that can be accessed without an internet connection. It's durable, battery-free, and costs less than a dollar. The Cushy Baby necklace is accompanied by a Cushy Baby mobile app that creates vaccine records and then stores them on these NFC tags. The nurse or healthcare worker who sees the baby simply scans the tag with their phone and immediately knows which vaccines the child needs. Now, as soon as this phone enters an area with cellular service, it uploads all of the vaccine records collected to the cloud. This means, for the first time ever in most of these areas, that healthcare workers can now monitor vaccine administration across their clinics in real time, which also contains much more specific data than ever collected before. This team from Yale isn't going at this project alone. Oh no. In April, the Cushy Baby founders won the Thorne Prize for Social Innovation in Health that was sponsored by Innovate Health at Yale. This prize ended up being just the spark that Cushy Baby needed. Their team quickly expanded to include other members of the Yale community and Siva Mandir, an NGO in northern India that has been doing grassroots community development for more than 40 years. By July of this year, Cushy Baby was on the ground in Rajasthan, bringing their technology with them. The response, as Cushy Baby proudly states, was overwhelmingly positive. But this project isn't just about access to vaccines and maintaining vaccine records. It's about giving healthcare workers the data they need to improve the treatment they provide. If Cushy Baby has their way, this pilot program in northern India is just the first step. Cushy wants to bridge the gap between providers and patients, one NFC necklace at a time. How can you help? Easy. This is Kickstarter Corner, after all. $25 will not only get you a Cushy Baby necklace of your own, but will also sponsor a necklace for a child in India. For $100, you get a necklace and the accompanying app, but you will also be able to provide 10 children with necklaces. And Cushy Baby will also send you monthly updates as these children complete their vaccination sequences. Don't wait. Cushy Baby's Kickstarter campaign ends very, very soon. Heck, you can go there right now. I'll wait. If you don't make their Kickstarter campaign date, never fear. You can also head on over to cushybaby.org and donate to them directly via their website. Or heck, you can just click that link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can join our circle there as well. We also have a YouTube channel that is chocked full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 12th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.